All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks are doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April 1, April Fool's Day. Is it April Fool's Day? I think it's April Fool's Day. So April, happy April Fool's Day, April 1st, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. A little bit back to the same. Got up this morning to another raining morning. That's all right. It's all good. It is Monday. Great weekend. Hope everyone had a great weekend with the holiday and hopefully hanging out with family. Hopefully hanging out with sobriety. Hopefully hanging out with some serenity. And hopefully you woke up this morning and you have no regrets. I know I do not. I had a great weekend. My only regret is I wish I just had a little bit more going on. I'm just feeling a little stagnant, a little bored. I don't know if it's sort of some seasonal depression still. I just don't feel very energized and excited to get out and pull weeds or something like that, right? Yesterday, I was laying on the couch watching TV. Really nice day outside. Interesting schedule for us yesterday. Came and did a podcast. We went and had breakfast with some family, went back to our house, ended up going back to our in-laws' house for dinner, had some friends over, had a buddy of mine who's going through some challenges in his life. His family came over. I was like, man, are you guys getting it figured out? No, they weren't. But they pulled it together, right, for their child, which is, you know, great. We had a great time hanging out with them. I hope they can get it figured out. But, you know, to each his own. They've got this. Can't help everybody. Sometimes you just got to let people figure it out. But it was fun to hang out with them. And then, but at a period yesterday, I was sort of just laying on the couch, and I just didn't really have any motivation. I have a few things. I let my middle son ride my e-bike. Tires flat now, right, of course. And I had this trailer issue that I shared, I think, about last week, how I've had this trailer and people were starting to complain. So I gave the trailer away. The trailer's gone. Now I need my trailer, right? I need my trailer this morning to put my bike on to take down to the bike shop to get my tire fixed. But it's all good, right? I'll figure it out. It's not the biggest issue in my life, but it is an issue because I do need to get my tire fixed. So, but that's sort of what's going on. But I'll put it all behind me. We'll start a fresh day here on Monday, and back to the grind. And I was thinking, last week, I don't know if I even talked about, really that much on, because last week we did the seventh step, and then we did the eighth step. I actually thought we were on the seventh step. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, but actually turned out to be the eighth step, which we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I'm not sure that I even really talked about it because the eighth step is an interesting one. And, I think about it a lot, especially, this time of the month when it is around the eighth step. And I think about how when I first came into the program and starting these steps, I was like, I didn't really feel like I'd hurt that many people, right? I know, it was obvious that I had been in a thorn in my parents' side for a long time, right? That's an obvious amends, right? I'd been making amends to them for a long time, right? They were definitely not the people lined up ready to hear another amends from me, right? I just did not feel like I had this huge list of people that I had harmed, right? But what was funny is that I had this huge list of people that had harmed me. And then that's where I started to make the list of people that I had harmed.
I've been
The Dark, Eddie Vedder. Surprise, right? I don't know if people know this, but I actually used to, surprise. I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. I love Eddie Vedder. I love Pearl Jam. And so unfortunately, I tend to play a lot of it. So I actually saw somebody this weekend was like, that actually listens to my podcast. And she goes, and I like the music. I was like, really? So like it or not, that is The Dark, Eddie Vedder. Great song. Dude has such a catalog of music. I'm just such a big fan. But yeah, anyway, the eighth step, which is, you know, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, right? And I had to become willing to take a hard look at every situation that had happened in my life that I had blamed somebody else, right? Because that is my issue. Or, you know, that was my issue. It comes in and out, right? But accountability, right? And I, early on, you know, I've obviously my parents and a guy I had worked for and, you know, a couple people. But the list of people that I had harmed, right, wasn't that long, right? But the ability or the lack of accountability, I think, was keeping me from seeing the true list. And it wasn't until I started to make a list of people that had harmed me, right? At some point I started to realize if my feet were there, I played a role, right? How much of a role, I'm not sure, but if I was there, I was involved, right? I had a part. And, you know, I shared about the guy that punched me. I always talk about this, I know, but it's one of those moments that I always go, oh God, I can't believe, right, that I sat, because I spent years blaming this guy, right? That son of a bitch, right? My dad and I still had this conversation not even that long ago, right, about this guy, right, that had done me dirty. And I had to find the humility, man. I had to stop being here because I got caught too much, right? I had to stop being here because of how bad I was as an alcoholic. I had to stop being here because of how much trouble I caused everybody, how much my life had become unmanageable to everybody else. Right. I had to stop being here just because I was supposed to. Right. I had to start being here because I really wanted to make some character changes in my life. Right. And accountability was one of them. And it was just an eye-opening experience when I realized, you know, Tom, if you hadn't gone to the guy's house at all. Right. If you hadn't even started, because this back in those days, this was about drugs. This wasn't even about alcohol. Alcohol ran through my life like the Nile, but the reality was is my that self-centered side of me was motivated by drugs at that time in my life. And if I had never started doing drugs, I never would have ended up in this guy's world, right? If I have to even go back that far, I mean, I didn't, right? I pulled up to his house, walked into his living room, and acted like, you know, we belong there, and we didn't. Right. But it doesn't even take, I could go back farther and farther and farther to realize that I could have made a different choice and never even would have had this interaction. So it was my fault. Right. Did he need to do that? I don't know. He did it. Doesn't matter. He did it. I was there. It was my fault. I was there. I got what I got. Right. So it wasn't until I started to make this list of all these people that had harmed me, right, that had done me dirty. I remember I was dating this girl. I shared, you know, and I stole this $100 and her brother came after me, man. And he was pissed and he was a good friend of mine, but you know, I was scared. And, you know, I was like that guy, you didn't need to be that way. Right. Well, you didn't need to steal the money. Right. And, he wouldn't have been on my list. Right. The guy that punched me in Cardiff, he wouldn't have been on my list of people that I had harmed. Right. Because I was a victim to him. Right. But when I finally was able to find some humility and start taking a harder look, the list got bigger. And, you know, it says willingness. Right. Made a list of what was it say? I just want to read it correctly. It says made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Right. When the willingness comes, that doesn't mean, you know, and I've shared this so many times, right? I was great at saying sorry. I was willing to say sorry. I'm sorry. I won't do it again, right? Lie. You caught me. I'm sorry. I was always willing to do that. But was I willing to start taking a hard look at every situation and realize the part that I played? And I wasn't at first, right? Because I didn't understand the point of it, right? But as I shared the other day, man, if we're starting a new life, right? If we are going to start with a clean start, a fresh start, this is helpful, right? This isn't about, hey, everybody, look how many people I can make amends to. Look how much better I am. Look at this. Look, I got a huge list. I'm adding to it every day. I'm getting better with every name I put on here, right? And, you know, we talk about staying centered on the beam. It's a theme that runs through all these steps in my life today, right? Am I centered on the beam? And I think early recovery, I want the biggest list and I want people to recognize it. And then I can't wait to go see each one of them, right? I'm sorry. Says I got to do this, right? I'll never forget the Seinfeld where George thinks this guy owes him an apology because he got made fun of because this guy said that George stretched out his sweater, right, with his big head. And he's like, I think you owe me an apology. And he's like, no, I don't think so. It was really funny. And then the guy's like, all right, I'm sorry. He goes, I don't think that was a good enough sorry, right? It's an interesting situation. And some people don't, you know, I know that there were, like my parents' friends, right, that sort of witnessed our lifestyle back in, especially in California, who were always kind of on the fringe watching, you know, and watching what my parents go through. You know, I owed them an apology, right? There were so many people, but it wasn't about the length or the quality of the list, and it was about the willingness, right? And it was also about the willingness to really deep dive and really find out what was missing, which was accountability. And so, you know, coming out of this list, I mean, I may have missed somebody, right? There are casualties of war, I believe, right? You can't, it's that guy that you get into an argument with on the bar stool, right? Or it's that girl, right, that you think you're just so awesome and they don't. Right. There may be moments that come up like that. Whatever it is, right? These casualties of where you can't make every amends, right? But I think what for me is most important is when you become willing, number one, you don't want to do it again, right? And number two, when you come up to situations like that, I try to look at all facets of that situation, right? The part I play, the part the other person plays, the part, you know, where I could have taken it a different direction, hopefully didn't, right? It's always about moving forward, right? I know that I've done damage. I know that I've been bad. I was possessed by a devil, right? That spiritual malady, that spiritual imbalance that just allowed me to really only be concerned with myself. I didn't know any better, right? When I started doing this program and started to expose this stuff, I was in shock. You know, I was in shock. I didn't realize. I thought I just like drinking, right? And I did. You know, I'm sure if I started drinking again, I would love it again. But it was this inability to see the self-centered side of myself, right? And so today, you know, I don't want to have to make another list, right? We have things in place, the 10th step where situations come up, and if it does get weird, you know, continue to take personal inventory. Why did I do it, right? Am I centered on the beam, right? Because I can tell you, man, I still struggle. My character, I still have character defects. You know, I talked about RFK Jr. yesterday and his character, and I think I have improved my character. I would think if a person was to speak about me, I think they would think that I had good character, right? But I'm not perfect, right? And when I'm not perfect, the thing that stops me from being perfect are character defects, right? And so when we continue to take personal inventory, hopefully we see the character defect and we try to stop it before it gets us into a predicament, right? Because I don't want to have to make amends, right? I don't want to have to go to lay my head down at night with worry and fear, right? Character defects are the things that stop me from having that newfound relationship with God. Newfound. I never would have expected this type of relationship with the higher power, right? One that doesn't really involve any communication, Right. I think what I've also learned, and I know I've shared this, and it's still sort of, and I don't know if it's even the right thing to say. I don't know. But what I've learned is as I've gotten better, right, as I've gotten better, as I use these steps in my life, right, as I live in this place minus fear, turns out I don't need God as much, right? And honestly, how much do I need God, right? When I came into this program, I was the guy searching for God, right? And now, having worked the steps and being in this place of minus fear, it's more of just a byproduct, right? It's a lifestyle for me instead of in search of this thing. It's more of just a way of life, right? And what does that way of life mean? It's my behavior, how I feel in myself, how I feel when I'm alone, quiet, right? You know, is there tons of conversation? Is there a constant battle? You know, what is going on? You know, this is a relationship today with the higher power, right? But the thing that takes it away are the character defects, you know, mouthing off, right? Bad behavior on the road, swerving, flipping people off, right? Whatever it is, when it happens, it's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable and it becomes the top thing that I need to fix, right? Doing the next right thing. One of the cool things I saw on this Jocko podcast with RFK, and I swear to God, this blew me away. But he talked about, you know, these small little things that he does today in his life, talking about the story when he's going down, he was late to a plane, right, running through the airport and, you know, was putting a piece of gum in his mouth late, right, emergency. The plane could actually leave without him, right? And he takes the little wrapper, and as he runs by, he throws it into the trash can, and it goes right in, right? Right in. But it hits something, it bounces right back out. And he runs past seeing this, and he thinks, hey, this one's on you, God, because I made it in. But a few feet later, he's like, ah, and he has to stop, go back, and put the piece of trash in the trash can, right? These are the little things that start to become the foundation of our new character, right? And I relate, right? I can relate. And I have moments where that happens and I have to stop and I have to just fix it because I just can't continue, right? And then there are times when I do it and I know better and I let it, I don't go pick it up, right? And I think, oh, and it just weighs on me. Like, what's your problem, dude? Right? And he also talks about putting the shopping carts back. I was just like, yeah, I think this is really, shopping carts to me, it turns out, is a bigger example for a lot of people. I think this is a real test of who we are, right? And I think it's a test of who we think we are, right? If we're, you know, and when I talk about shopping carts, it's the you know, I was the guy that left the carts in the parking lot. I would put the shit in my car and leave it next to my car. Didn't care, right? Didn't care. That one act, that one moment, that one task represented me in a nutshell. I didn't give a fuck about anybody. And when I got sober and started to feel again, started to come alive, right, and started to realize I just wanted to catch up and make amends and be better, and the shopping cart became an example of how my life was running. And I now, you know, and then, you know, but then centered on the beam, right, taking it all the way up. That's very nice of you. But I was wondering if anybody was noticing, right? Doing something, doing the next right thing, but still having some fucking, some nastiness on it, right? Still serving self. But it felt good. It felt good. I'm doing better. Look at me. I'm putting the shopping carts back. But I would have to continue to analyze that, right? And realize, you know, I remember my buddy said, do something nice for someone and don't tell anybody. And I was like, well, that's a waste. Right? That's a waste of an opportunity to make myself look good, right? But that's humility, right? Doing something for somebody else and not letting nobody know about it. And so, you know, but it's also okay if you take the shopping cart back to the place where they're supposed to go, the halfway point, right? Early recovery, I wanted to take it all the way back. Look at me, I'm all the way back, baby. But now I realize it is okay if I just take it to the place where the carts are held, right? That's what they're at. That's why it's there, right? I don't need to be Superman, right? I just need to do the next right thing. And just putting a series of those together, one next right thing after another, is life of recovery, right? And when we fall short, fixing it, right? And that's life, right? Being aware, identifying it, the willingness, right? The willingness to do it. And when we don't do it or fall short, you know, fixing it. That's recovery and staying in the day. And all of a sudden, I started to have a spiritual awakening. All of a sudden, you know, and he talked about that spiritual alignment. You know, I was out of alignment. I was too far in the dark, right? And I didn't realize it. You know, and at the time, you'd think you're doing good, right? Like, look at me. Why would I waste my time taking that shopping cart back, right? And the other thing is that it's kind of strange is that, you know, this is the lifestyle I choose, this lifestyle of humility and helping others and being willing and all that stuff. But, you know, does that mean any other lifestyle is wrong, right? Some people like to live in stress, right? Some people like the fight. Some people you know, want to get to the top, right? At any cost, anybody, at the cost of any friendship or relationship, whatever it is, you know, they just want what they want and they don't care. And that's their choice, right? That doesn't, just because that's not the lifestyle, I'm not cut out for it anymore, right? I'm not cut out. And I can tell you the life, when I lived the other lifestyle, it wasn't by choice. It was, that's how I was written. That was my, that was how I was programmed, right? That I didn't have to make a choice. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to be, I'm not going to think of others. I'm going to be off the center of the beam, right? It's just how I mean, I think that's immaturity, right? Immaturity. And I just stayed immature. But eventually we start getting better. But there are people, you know, just because a person doesn't want to make an amends, right? Just because someone doesn't want to talk about having humility, just because somebody isn't willing, right? That doesn't mean their lifestyle is wrong, right? I'm probably not going to jive too well with them, but there's plenty of other people that will. And so I also cannot look down my nose, right? Up, down from my white ivory tower and all the people, you know, behaving badly. It's not my place to decide that. You know, all I can take care of is myself. And so when people talk about me, hopefully it is of a decent character, right? It is about, you know, and I kept saying, I fall short sometimes. We all do. It's just how long do we stay there, right? How long, you know, I can remember as a kid and I would get into a situation and I would dig my fucking heels in and there was going to be no conversation about it. I was right. You were wrong. And that's it. And I would just waste life, you know. I would just waste my life and time in these big fights. And, you know, even when my wife and I have disagreements, we just, like the other day, I don't know what happened, but I called or was texting, and her and I sort of got into it. And, you know, that could have been the fuse that could have lasted for the whole day of fighting. And I just walked in the door. I was like, you know, and we just started laughing about it. Just put it behind us and move forward, right? We don't have time to fight and argue anymore. We got too much shit going on. Our kids, if my wife and I fought for a whole day, our kids would be like, what are you guys doing? What's going on? Right? Because our life in our world and our family is just constant, you know, it's constant love, right? And willingness and acceptance and frustration and, you know, highs and lows, right? I don't know who said it, but this guy was like, my life is like a lasagna noodle. It's just a lot of ups and downs, but just quickly, right? None of these big up and down dives of horror, right? We have had arguments that have lasted a couple hours and our house gets very quiet, right? Everyone goes to their spots and nobody talks. And it's a terrible existence like that. And my kids don't like it and we don't like it. And so we've had good fights, but we've ended, you know, I think the longest the fight we've had is maybe 2 hours. And it's probably because, you know, maybe one of us went somewhere and came back and was like, you know, what are we doing? Right. We have a lot of things in place that rely on us trying to keep our shit together, right? And when it isn't, it's not fun. So, you know, we don't even let that shit last because we don't want to waste time fighting. That's my partner, right? That's my business partner. That's my love, right? That's my dog, right? She's everything. But that doesn't mean that we have to be lovey-dovey all the time. We have a business, and that is to take care of our family and on a daily basis. And sometimes we'll have problems, but we also know that we got to clean it up pretty quickly because the family continues, right? And we're just so grateful, right, that we aren't drinking and doing all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what all that was about, but it's a I'm just grateful for these steps, right? Just to give me, right, to draw that new fresh line in the sand that I can step over and I can hopefully, you know, I don't have to leave it behind, right? I'm aware of it, right? But I don't have to drag it all into the next life, right? Into this next life of hopefully better behavior, awareness and willingness and, you know, building our character. And I love it. So that was actually last week, the 8th step. So I guess this week we'll be on the 9th step, which is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. I think that's what we'll be reading tonight. So, you know, makes sense, right, to make direct amends. But I think it's really important. It was definitely more important for me to understand who I needed to make it to, right? Because the list wasn't very long early on in my recovery. Later on, and you know, it's I don't know what the rule is, right? But I do think that, you know, people pop up that we forget, right? Situations pop up. You know, one of the amends that I had to make was to the bartender, right? When I got in that fight, March 31st, 1997, he may have punched me. I still don't know. I think it's important that I don't know, right? I don't waste a lot of time thinking about it, but you know, I had to make an amends to him. But I didn't see, you know, I didn't go back to that bar after the incident, right? I didn't go back to the bar. But I do live in a small town, right? And it would be a couple years and I ran into him and I said to him, I go, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry, right? And I also want to say thank you for throwing me out the front door, right? And he was probably like, what? Why are you thanking me? Why would you thank me, right? I had to be, I had to take my responsibility of the part that I played and let him know that, you know, and I'm sure he knew this, but all of that was my fault, right? Did he have to, and I don't know who punched me. Did he have to? Didn't, but I deserved it. And I'm grateful for it because that is what knocked that fucking self-centered side of me out and allowed me to jump through that window and so on and so forth. All right, let me read the daily reflections and then I am, hopefully I'm not going to procrastinate today. I got a whole plan. But it is raining, and when raining is happening, procrastination isn't far behind. All right. Looking within, April 1st, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, right? 12 steps, 12 traditions. Step 4 is the vigorous and painstaking effort to discover what the liabilities in each of us have been and are. I want to find exactly how, when, and where my natural desires have warped me. I wish to look squarely at the unhappiness this has caused others and myself by discovering what my emotional deformities are. I can move towards their correction. Without a willing and persistent effort to do this, there can be little sobriety or contentment for me. To resolve ambivalent feelings, I need to feel a strong and helpful sense of myself. Such an awareness doesn't happen overnight, and no one's self-awareness is permanent. Everyone has the capacity for growth and for self-awareness through an honest encounter with reality. When I don't avoid issues, but meet them directly, always trying to resolve them, they become fewer and fewer. That's right. I mean, all these steps are amazing. If you're in the 4th step, you know, dig in. It is helpful, right? If we're going to start a new life, we might as well start with the cleanest slate possible. And this is no April Fools, right? Have a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye-bye.